Radio 2.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. Here's the news, read by Peter Dixon. The Times and The Sun have been printed at Rupert Murdoch's new plant in East London. Times journalists have voted to move there. The Prime Minister meets senior colleagues this morning to discuss her speech in the Westland debate. And the American Super Bowl. They're celebrating in Chicago after victory for the Bears. The Times and The Sun newspapers have been printed for the first time at News International's new plant in East London, despite a continuing strike by 5,000 print workers. But the company, owned by Mr. Rupert Murdoch, appears to have had some difficulty distributing the papers by van to wholesalers instead of by train. Many towns are still without copies of one or both papers. In some areas, they arrive too late to be delivered to customers, but are on sale in the shops. Last night, journalists at The Times voted to move to the new works in Wapping. Our Labour correspondent, Nicholas Jones, reports.
Journalists on The Times followed those on The Sun and the News of the World in voting to move to News International's new printing works. But the 2-1 vote to go was said by their union to have been taken out of fear, and up to 50 Times journalists argued against giving way to Rupert Murdoch, saying it was a betrayal of the 5,000 printing workers who've been sacked by the company. The printing unions haven't given up their fight. This afternoon, they'll ask the country's biggest union, the Transport and General, to put pressure on lorry drivers not to cross picket lines, and so prevent the distribution of News International's newspapers. The unions see this as perhaps the only remaining way to retaliate against Mr. Murdoch's successful move of his four newspapers away from Fleet Street.
Copies of The Sun were also printed at News International's new plant at Kinning Park in Glasgow. As unmarked lorries drove out of the heavily fortified plant, they were followed by cars driven by striking print workers, apparently intent on tracing and disrupting the company's distribution network. The Prime Minister will address MPs in the Commons this afternoon in an emergency debate on the Westland affair. Mrs. Thatcher has promised to give the full facts about her role in the row over the leaked letter from the Solicitor General to the former Defence Secretary, Mr. Michael Heseltine. Our political correspondent, Noel Lewis, says she'll be concentrating on restoring confidence in her leadership.
The Prime Minister will discuss the speech that's been prepared with senior colleagues this morning. They want to be sure that everything possible is said this time to bring the affair of the leaked letter to a close. The Prime Minister's statement last week provoked questions and doubts about her own involvement in the leak. Senior ministers consider it in the national interest and the interest of the government to put an end to the saga. Mrs. Thatcher's own integrity is being challenged. She's given the impression that she intends to be defiant, that there's no need to apologise for anything. Michael Heseltine is being blamed for causing all the trouble. If it hadn't been for his argument, there would have been no cabinet row, no resignations, no need to leak the letter. That's not a view shared by all Tory MPs, but today they're being persuaded to treat the affair as a vote of confidence in the Prime Minister.
The Institute of Directors have put forward their ideas for the next budget. They want the Chancellor, Mr. Nigel Lawson, to cut basic tax by 2 pence in the pound and to reduce higher rates by 7 pence. The Institute are proposing a £4,000 million package, including further tax cuts in the 2 subsequent years. The National Resistance Army, which has seized power in Uganda after capturing the capital, Kampala, has said it's consolidating its position. It has said it intends to form a broad-based government. There are reports of former government soldiers fleeing the capital, killing and looting on their way. This report from Charles Harrison in Nairobi.
The National Resistance Army leaders say they are consolidating their position in Kampala after capturing the Ugandan capital at the weekend. Already the NRA leader, Mr. Yoweri Museveni, has met the British and American ambassadors and said any foreigners who want to leave the country will be allowed to do so. Kampala is starting to return to normal after a week of crisis, including 2 days of house-to-house fighting. Some shops and offices have now reopened, and local markets are operating again. Kenya has stepped up security along the border with Uganda after bands of troops of the former Ugandan army were reported to be killing and looting as they fled to the east and north of Uganda.
In the presidential election in Portugal, the right-wing candidate, Professor Freitas do Amaral, has polled the largest number of votes, but he failed to win an absolute majority, and he now has to take part in a further poll, a direct contest with the former socialist Prime Minister, Senor Mario Soares, in 3 weeks' time. The American space shuttle Challenger is due to take off this afternoon for a six-day mission. The launch had been planned for yesterday, but was called off because of bad weather at Cape Canaveral in Florida. Meanwhile, the space probe Voyager 2 has been sending back more information about the planet Uranus. Scientists say it suggests the planet may have 10 more rings, in addition to the 10 already discovered. The scientists are excited, too, by detailed photographs of one of the planet's moons. Its surface is shown as a mass of towering peaks and deep canyons with a network of valleys, looking rather like roads. One scientist said it was as if all the bizarre geological forms in the solar system had been put together in one place. People in Chicago are celebrating one of the city's greatest sporting triumphs. The Chicago Bears won the American football championship, the Super Bowl, and the festivities went on long into the night. More than 120 million people around the world watched the Bears overwhelm the New England Patriots in New Orleans. Among them was our New York correspondent, James Cox.
The Bears went to the Super Bowl in New Orleans, firm favorites, but not even the sporting pundits predicted that the game would turn into a rout. The Bears beat the New England Patriots 46 points to 10, the most crushing defeat in the 20 years since the championship was first played. Even players in defensive positions scored touchdowns, including Chicago's hero and mascot, 22-stone William Perry, known, because of his size and shape, as the Refrigerator. Back in Chicago, Bear fans took over the streets. They were dressed as Bears, they carried teddy bears, they made bear noises. The Bears, said one exultant supporter, have put the Sheik back in Chicago.
The London Standard newspaper has announced its annual film awards. The best British film of 1985 is My Beautiful Laundrette. And the weather forecast, rain or sleet, perhaps with snow in places for a time, will give way to clearer weather, but with showers of sleet or snow from the west. And that's the news at 7 minutes past 8.